Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 19th, 2007. It's National Volunteer Week. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. Just after the bottom of the hour, as he does each and every Thursday, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us. That for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Want to review something you heard on the Closing Market Report? Then AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts are for you. Get all our ag programming delivered daily to your computer. Go to WILLAG.org. and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and you will never miss a Closing Market Report again. You can also subscribe to the pre-opening and opening market reports and our flagship show, Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, big gains in the wheat pit following the Kansas City wheat higher. May there at 17.5 higher, finished at $5.10 for the hard red wheat. July futures up 15.5 at 504.5. Soft red winter wheat gains on the Chicago up 21.5 there, 496. And they had a high price of 497, a bottom at 483, and their settlement price at 474.5. July wheat futures 18.75 at 507.75 higher, at 507.75 up 18.75. And September futures finished 13.25 at 509.75. May futures in the corn pit up 7.75 at 371.25. July at 382.25. They were 7 higher. And December contract at 380, down 1.5 today. May soybeans at 7.18 1/4, up 2.75. July futures up 2.75 at 7.35. And the November contract at 2.5 higher, finished 7.62. From the bean meal pit, May contract for the products 196.90. They were unchanged. May bean oil at 31.56. That finished 49 higher for the afternoon. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, April feeder cattle were 2.5 cents higher. They finished at $107.30. April live cattle at $96.45 were down 67.5 cents. And the June futures were off a dime at $92.72.5. May lean hogs, $76.67.5. They were up 87.5 today. From the outside markets, crude oil at $61.75 were down 138. June futures at $63.25 were down $1.13 a barrel. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now up just about 11 points at 12,814.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk about this marketplace. Wow, some real strange things happening in the wheat pit. What got into the market? Why'd they decide they should jump the nearby's up 21 cents?
Well, I think there's more and more reports coming out that the freeze damage that occurred here a week ago last weekend is probably more serious than what they initially thought. And, that is what kind of fueled the market. If you remember right here a couple days ago or something, somebody was trying to play the same freeze scenario that happened here a few years ago, that the wheat market rallied for like 10 days and then petered out. So I think that put a bunch of shorts into the market trying to play that analog. And now you're beginning to hear, you hear more and more reports of more significant damage potential anyway, and then that just fueled the wheat on higher. So, you know, you've got the wheat market now in new highs for the year. It went all the way back and closed the chart gap that was left at the start of the year. You know, you look at the chart, you went from yearly lows to yearly highs here in a matter of about 2 weeks. You've penetrated the downtrend line or the flag. You've kind of validated a flag formation now in the wheat market. So I think you're going to see a lot of speculative money now, especially people that trade the technical side of the market, going to come on in and try to lift this wheat futures to much higher levels.
And corn futures followed suit. Will they follow the wheat on higher?
Eventually they will. You know, there's going to be that spread difference. But if you could, if you take wheat back to where it was, you know, back last fall, I think it was somewhere around 550. I think technically I can read the wheat market as high as 610. So, you know, if you can take the wheat back into that 550, $6 market, you would think that you could pull corn futures within a buck and a half of that. That would at least lay the groundwork then from a technical perspective that corn could maybe go back and at least check out the highs that we made here back during the March time frame, maybe fall short of them or not. We'll have to depend upon how the fundamentals play out. But the technical market in the wheat is a green light, you know, fuel it up and let's go type thing. And we'll have to see if that's all validated again fundamentally. On Monday's crop rating levels, see if we see another decline in crop rating levels. And then, of course, everybody's keeping their eye on the dryness that is in the Ukraine is dry, Australia is dry. So maybe we have a world supply tightening in wheat, and we don't have very many. We really are ending stocks level in wheat worldwide is not very plentiful to start with, so this could be the start of a pretty good move that would eventually lift all boats higher.
And lift all boats, and you mean corn and soybeans as well?
Yes.
Tell me about your longer term trends for wheat. And I know you do this for corn and soybeans. Do you take a look at the longer term trends, the year, much longer trends, and would wheat be due for something?
Well, I don't know if I want to get into the long term, real long term stuff. That gets everybody kind of confused. But I do think wheat is. We'll take one step at a time.
Okay.
We're into a July high now, which basically tells me you're counter-seasonal, very similar to kind of what we did in corn last year. We pulled out of an August low and then just went counter-seasonal right on through harvest, and basically we didn't stop here until we got into March. Now, whether or not this wheat market's got that much push in it, we'll have to see how the fundamentals play out, but I do think the first step here is to go into July high, and then by then we'll have an idea what size of crop we really have. Then it'll be the function of the market then to, if we're real tight and we're snug, will be to try to increase wheat acres during the fall, so that gives it a reason why it could extend itself on into the fall. But, you know, I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm quite impressed by the technical action of wheat, and we'll have to kind of see how the fundamentals play out.
Are the feet on the ground, the folks in the field that you're talking to, confirming that there's a problem, a bigger problem with soft red winter wheat than maybe had been thought?
Well, you hear that, but that's kind of hard to talk to a dozen or so producers and try to come up with any kind of sensible estimate of how much damage has occurred. That is why I'm a technician. I just let the market tell me, and the chart pattern and the price action of wheat tells me that we got a much smaller wheat crop out there than anybody thinks.
And what's the chart pattern in the corn telling you now?
Well, the corn, what it's trying to do, we're not quite there, but I think we're almost there, the chart action basically since the March report, and it's been kind of choppy, telling me that the market was wanting to make a stand here. And so far, so good. And I know December corn here was lower here for the day, but I really like the bull spread activity that's taking place here in the corn market. Now, most of it has probably been liquidation of a bear spread because open interest hasn't started to build yet. What the market does here, the corn market has done a flip-flop here also fundamentally because of wheat, because if wheat is going to go to the levels that the charts say it's going to, you're not going to feed much wheat this summer. So therefore, all of these people that were bearish feed usage after the March report is going to have to get back bullish feed usage because that means you're going to feed more corn this summer, so that gives demand for the summer market that the trade was not expecting until the freeze came about. The other thing, all of this early corn that got planted in Tennessee and Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama back in the early April or late March, early April, whatever it is, all got frosted, so we're back to zero again. So there's not going to be that early supply of inventory move into the marketplace that the market was expecting here just a couple weeks ago. So, here we are. We might hit May 1, probably at the very most, have 30% of the crop planted here by May 1. Depending upon how these weather forecasts play out, it could be much less than that. And that's compared to, 50% over the past couple years and maybe like a 45% average. So the corn market, I think, is beginning to tighten up, too. The report and talk about trend line yield of 153 or 156, whatever the Infoma group put on it, I think that was the biggest crop estimate that we'll see for the year, and see the crop has gotten smaller since that report. So that is what's given corn, I think, a reason here to try to make a stand and then try to rally now and try to recover some of the decline that we've seen off the March high.
Tell me, we talked just a bit about wheat and corn and their relationship. You suggest that corn's going to make a stand. Wheat, if it's as badly damaged as some think, will probably move higher.
Yeah, it goes $6.
Yeah, but corn, will it unhook at some point from wheat and not worry so much about having to follow wheat higher?
Rising waters lifts all boats.
Okay. that's my question. Even the soybeans?
Well, you got a dollar in 28-year lows.
Yeah.
Export demand's picking up a little bit. You kind of seen that in firm basis levels. And, I'm real excited about wheat going to lead the summer rally.
So let me ask you, because you've changed tones just a bit over the past couple of weeks, is it just the wheat? I mean, is it fundamentally just the freeze out there in the wheat, or is it something that you saw? You're a technician, so I assume it's something you really see in the wheat that really has you thinking about this differently than you had for the maybe the previous 3 months or 4 months.
It's in the stars.
Not the moon cycles, is it?
it's all in the planetary alignment.
Well, okay.
No, I mean, I, you know, I, 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 it's early, but the price action tells you that the trade was braced for and prepared for a good wheat crop, just like it was a year ago when it was prepared for a big corn crop and a lot of big carryover and LDPs and bin shortages and all that kind of stuff where it wanted to go sharply lower, and all of a sudden we found out the corn crop wasn't as big as what everybody was bracing for. There was more storage around than what everybody was bracing for, and the corn market turned up in the way we went. Now, the wheat crop, I think, is maybe not be quite as bullish as that, but any time you take a production number and stop it from growing and begin to start shrinking it or making it smaller, the market has to react to that because that changes supply-demand balance. Now, there's no confirmation that I can give you fundamentally how much that supply-demand balance has changed. But like I said, from a technical perspective, if I was a fund trader and had millions of dollars and I was hunting for a place to put it, I'd put it in wheat and make the shorts sweat.
We'll leave you on that note.
All right.
All right. Thanks much, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. Hey, visit our website at willag.org. Not only will you find a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter and our podcast there of all the ag programming, but if you hit the top of the page, you'll find a link for Ed Kieser's weather. Ed and Mike Sola and the rest of the crew stay on top of the weather so you can stay in the fields or plan your activities for the day. Speaking of Ed, here's a forecast for the two-state region. Tonight says skies will be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 35 in northeastern Indiana to 42 in west central Illinois. And the south tomorrow, Ed says, mostly sunny skies. Highs ranging from 57 along the Chicago lakefront to around 70 in the south. Up next, it's National Volunteer Week. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Did you know it's National Volunteer Week? Now, I work for an organization that's built on volunteers, 4-H leaders, and master gardeners. Service is a high calling, no matter how small the deed. Andrew Carnegie said, "No man can become rich without himself enriching others." He means, I think, if you give of yourself, that gift will come back tenfold. If you like to take photos, do it for the local team or the rec league, and give copies to the kids for free. Volunteer your talent. It might be in the kitchen, or on the computer, behind the camera, or on the field. Take up a cause for those less fortunate. Volunteer your time in the boardroom or the gathering area. The moral test of a society, says Hubert Humphrey, is how that society treats those who are in the dawn of life, the children, those who are in the twilight of life, the elderly, and those who are in the shadow of life, the sick, the needy, and the handicapped. You might volunteer your treasure to those causes you cannot offer your time and talent. If you want to lift up yourself, lift up someone else, said Booker T. Washington. And finally, on volunteers, Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we do, but we make a life by what we give." I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now for our Thursday look at the cash grain market, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing joins us from Lexington. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's pick up with something that Dan Zwicker talked just a bit about in our earlier segment. He was discussing the bull spread, the July-December spread in the corn market, and I think you've got a few extra comments you'd like to make on that issue.
Yeah, I think it's really important that the listeners understand what's happened out here. Since a week ago, I just went back and figured this just a few minutes ago, if you were a hedger, say an elevator, had the grain hedged in the September, your cash price has gone up 13 cents in the last week faster than what your loss in your futures has been. And if you happen to have your hedge in the December, it's gone up about 18 cents faster. So basically, you've gained that, even though plus whatever the bases may have gone up, which in some areas it's improved a little bit as well. So you're looking at some incentive there to move some cash grain. Now, the question is, and Dan made some excellent points, you know, the wheat freeze, we probably have increased some demand here for corn in this old crop year that we didn't know we had. So there's some fundamental reasons that we could look to explain this big change in the spread. But we also can go back to last October, and I'm sure you remember this, Todd, when we saw the wheat, the March wheat versus the July wheat changed about $1.14 in less than 2 weeks. And really what happened there was we had a lot of people caught in the wrong position and were forced out of the market. The question today, I think, is that the case, or is it strictly a fundamental case? And I think we'll know in a few days, because if it's a fundamental situation, I think you'll see cash corn start to move against this, you know, nearby bids, nearby bases, and that should probably get us, you know, stabilized a little bit. If we continue to just see this May corn increase versus December, then that's telling us maybe there's something to it besides just the fundamentals.
And so you're talking not having somebody caught on the wrong side in the wheat pit this time around, but somebody caught on the wrong side in the corn pit?
I think that's a possibility. I don't know for sure if that's the case. I think when they increased the carryout on the stocks report, there's a lot of talk about, man, we don't have any carry in this market. We need to build some carry. And I think there's probably some bear spreading based on that. And if you remember back in October, what happened in the wheat was people bear spreading with the idea that when the funds rolled from the in that case, the March to the July, they were going to take advantage of that. I think we saw some of that here, too, that as we get closer to the May and the funds have to get out of their May longs, then they're going to take advantage of that. So I don't know if that's the case or not. We'll find out as we go along. But what, from a cash grain standpoint, a farmer needs to be keeping a close eye on this, because if you do have old crop grain, the market is telling you that, you know, it wants your grain now, and you need to reward the market when it does that. You can give it a little bit of time and be a little patient here, I think.
But it certainly is telling them that once it's old crop grain, on the other hand, you don't need to worry so much about your new crop.
Yeah, I think that's the case right now.
And that in part and parcel is due because most probably have some kind of revenue assurance program on at this point, and they're willing to wait it out because it's a put.
That's correct. And I wouldn't disagree with some of the basic supply and demand things that Dan mentioned. I mean, this freeze on the wheat crop, I believe, has reduced our total supply of feed grains because we had some wheat out there that we were planning on using for feed.
Tell me about cash basis in your low, in your area then, please.
It's improved a little bit as you look across the different segments of the market. The river has improved some this past week, not as much as it did the week before. Soybeans have been kind of just mixed, and they just kind of, both futures and basis-wise, they just kind of seem to be sitting here getting moved one direction or the other based on what the corn and wheat are doing.
And your bids for the day?
Well, I don't have them, but I think we're going to be 349 on the cash corn and 683 on the beans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
Bill Maris with Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Meteorologist Pete Levitt now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Tom.
You usually have a pretty good handle on the wheat crop because I think you have some pretty decent contacts in mostly the hard red winter wheat areas, I think, but probably soft red as well. What are you hearing from those areas about the damage from the cold a couple of weeks ago?
Well, the reports that we get on a daily basis and some people that are out in the fields and actually looking at the crop and measuring the potential of the crop continue to report that the crop is still in a state of deterioration. And the areas of concern, let's look at the hard red winter wheat belt now, which is the prime bred wheat crop and a big crop, or was going to be a big crop. The three central districts of Kansas, North Central, Central, and South Central District, had the greatest impact from the freeze, and there's very significant damage to the tillers and the heads, or just the emerging heads on some of this crop, and that's slowly becoming revealed. It takes about a couple of weeks, really, to determine the extent of the damage, but we think it's really quite serious down in there. The areas that were spared were the southwest Kansas districts, west central to some extent, and to the northwest where the crop wasn't far enough along. And those are good producers, too. But the area that's impacted by the freeze constitutes an area about 55% of the Kansas winter wheat crop. Some of that damage does extend down into Oklahoma, north central Oklahoma, but not to the extent that we've seen it up in Kansas. And Nebraska, except for the far southwest where there was some very cold air on the freeze in April, most of the state there was too early for that. The soft red areas are also impacted, and probably in the southern areas, probably more greatly than even in Kansas when we're looking at places like Arkansas, southeastern Missouri, parts of Tennessee, northern Alabama, northern Mississippi, and even the Carolinas, though they don't grow much wheat out there. So both crops really got a touch of this, and that's really unusual for them both to take a hit at the same time.
Now, let's talk about another weather problem. Maybe not a problem just yet, but it could be a problem given the number of systems that might be coming in on the westerlies for the Midwest, where they're looking to try to put a crop in the ground for corn. But there is some rainfall potentially over the next couple of weeks. Can you tell me about those systems?
Yes, and I think what you have it exactly right. Probably the best week is we're in it right now, and for the next few days we're going to stay dry as the area recedes, of showers recede eastward, and we see some dry weather. The next system comes along probably more slowly, gets into the western corn belt late Sunday and into Monday, and probably over in the central areas on Monday and then into Tuesday, a little slower than I think some of the models have it. But it looks like there's going to be a whole succession of these systems coming along as we move into next week and beyond, with a blocking pattern in Canada and the storm track taking a southerly route right across the northern half of the U.S. And so we're looking for a return to wetter weather starting early next week, and then intermittently continuing. But the intermittent aspect of it doesn't help much because it doesn't give you long enough time to dry out in between. And also the soil temperatures are really quite cold for this time of year, about as cool as I've seen them getting off to this period.
We finished up with this nation. We'd better take up wheat just one more time around the globe and maybe check in on the growing areas in India, Ukraine, and other spaces if you have information on them.
Yeah, India's okay. Their crop, you know, is a monsoonal crop up in the north. They did get adequate precipitation this winter. They're doing okay. In Eastern Asia, the crop looks okay. In the former Soviet Union, Russia and Ukraine areas, they're having a decent crop. Europe has been a little bit backwards at times, but it's coming along. And North Africa, which is the next crop to be harvested, pretty good in the east, and they had been too dry in Morocco, but they're starting to get wet now. So really, we're not looking at things too bad. The only other remaining place is for new crop in Australia. It's still too dry to get the crop planted well, although a burgeoning La Nina pattern here should bring more favorable conditions later on.
Pete, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
Peter Levitt joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for this nation and around the globe. Remember, you can always pick up the weather and the futures and the cash grain segments as you'd like, along with Commodity Week, the Closing Market Report, the pre-opening and the opening market reports, right there on our website. They're at WILLAG.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.